KOIN in Portland. It's called Aurora. The time is 11 o'clock.
CBS News. President Sadat of Egypt has some big decisions to make regarding the truce force in the Sinai. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Sadat is expected to have a response Tuesday after the UN Security Council Monday night voted to appeal to him to allow the international peacekeeping force in the Sinai to stay there. Sadat has said he will not renew the mandate for the troops, which expires Thursday. Egypt has said it regards the presence of the troops as an instrument perpetuating the occupation of its territory by Israel. But many UN diplomats regard the presence of the buffer troops as an important tool in preventing another outbreak of war in the Middle East, and they want them to stay. More news in a moment.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
President Ford has vetoed legislation that would have rolled back some oil prices. Details reported by Phil Jones in Washington.
The reasons for the president's veto were the price rollback would result in more fuel consumption, oil companies would cut back on domestic production because of the price rollback, and this would in turn mean more emphasis on imported oil. Energy Chief Frank Zarb indicated that the president is losing his patience with Congress.
What the president doesn't want, and what he won't tolerate, is another round of let's avoid a tough issue. Let's wait X number of days without a careful articulation as to what those days are going to produce, just to use up more time.
Now, Congress is expected to attempt to override Mr. Ford's veto, the outcome uncertain. But what is certain is that unless the President and Congress get together by the end of next month, controls on all oil coming from wells drilled prior to 1972 will be off. And to the consumer, this means that within 6 to 9 months, fuel prices will be up by about 7 cents a gallon. Phil Jones, CBS News at the White House.
President Ford met privately Monday with the family of Dr. Frank Olson, the CIA scientist who committed suicide after he was fed LSD in an experiment in 1953. The president told Olson's widow and her three children that he's instructed government lawyers to meet with the family's attorneys to discuss their planned multi-million-dollar suit against the CIA. Mr. Ford also expressed the sympathy of the American government and people for the circumstances of Dr. Olson's death. Monday night, CBS News correspondent Leslie Stahl talked with Mrs. Olsman, who discussed her husband's case.
The tragedy that happened to the family was very deep and very real, and it was committed by the government, and it should not have happened. But I think it is remarkable, and it should be noticed, that American family could call a press conference and receive communication through the press and to the President of the United States. I think that is a tremendous tribute to our country.
This is Frank Olson. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, policemen have voted to go back to work after a strike which lasted 10 days, a pay dispute. A full complement of officers is expected to be on duty in the morning. Police in New York are investigating an explosion Monday night at a United Parcel Service building, apparently caused by a bomb in a package. Authorities say 12 people were hurt, one seriously. New FBI figures show the nation's crime rate soared 18% in the first 3 months of this year. Crime in 7 major categories all increased. Now this.
They said it could be done. Kill fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Don't let your dog suffer with fleas and ticks. The Hearts two-in-one collar kills them both. Why settle for old-type flea collars? The Hearts 2-in-1 collar kills both fleas and ticks. And you only replace it when effectiveness diminishes. Don't be fooled. Get your dog the Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Hi, everybody. Phil Rizzuto here with a few words for sport fans everywhere. Nightly, Monday through Friday, I bring you Phil Rizzuto on sports over most of these stations. I wrap up the daily events with an action review that includes interviews with players, coaches, and managers, and always give you a preview of what's to come. I also have comments on all phases of the sports world that I know will interest you. Hope you'll listen right here Monday through Friday nights for Phil Rizzuto on sports on most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Smiles and bear hugs greeted Soviet cosmonauts Alexei Leonov and Valery Kibasov, who landed back on Earth early Monday, successfully completing their part of the joint American-Soviet space mission. The two cosmonauts said they were tired but otherwise all right following their landing in Central Asia. The Apollo astronauts remain in space, studying the galaxies and mapping the Earth's resources. They are to splash down in the Pacific Thursday afternoon. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A worker at the Mount Hood Meadows Ski Resort was killed today when a big electric motor fell on him while he was working with several others. Hood River County Sheriff Bob Lynch identifies the victim as 26-year-old Charles Douglas Huff, a son of Mr. and Mrs. Douglas Huff of Troutdale. Huff had been living at government camp. Sheriff Lynch says a crew was removing a large electric motor from the driving mechanism at the bottom of the Texas lift at Mount Hood Meadows when the accident happened shortly before noon. The sheriff says the motor fell on the victim. 15-year-old Jerry Wayne Mobley of Vancouver, Washington, hiked out of the rugged Cascade Mountain country south of the Columbia Gorge this evening after having been lost since Saturday. Hood River County Sheriff Bob Lynch says the youth was in good condition but hungry. Mobley appeared at the Columbia Gorge Work Center at Cascade Locks about 7:15 p.m. He had been the object of an intensive search today after being reported separated from his brother and sister Saturday while hiking the Herman Creek Trail south of Cascade Locks. The youth told authorities he got to the Mud Lake Guard Station Saturday evening and walked east, thinking he saw his companion's tracks. He later returned to the guard station and spent the night at the head of Herman Creek Trail. Yesterday, he attempted to go down the Herman Creek Trail but lost it and wandered around until he found the Pacific Crest Trail early today. He followed that trail out to Columbia Gorge and Cascade Locks. Members of the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers have approved a contract offered by Publishers Paper Company in Newburgh, Oregon. Tentative agreement was reached Friday on a 2-year contract to cover 225 members of the union's local number 60. It was approved by a substantial margin in voting today. A union spokesman said that the contract provides an average 14.5% increase in wages, as well as improvements in health, welfare, and pension benefits. Members of the union were off the job for 81 days when they observed picket lines from April 4th to June 23rd. The picket lines were set up by members of the union's locals 68 and 166 during a strike against Publishers Paper Company in Oregon City. The weather for Portland, Vancouver, fair through tomorrow and Wednesday, lows 55 to 60, turning quite warm with the highs tomorrow near 90 degrees, Wednesday near 95. Northerly winds of 5 to 12 miles per hour. No chance of rain through tomorrow. The temperature right now in downtown Portland stands at 63 degrees. That's KOIN News to 8:30 after 11. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. One of the perpetual mysteries in life is explored in a game of solitaire. During moments of reflection, haven't you sometimes wondered, what if I hadn't been there at that particular moment? Or what if I had been? What would have happened if I'd been there with someone else? Or if no one was there to help me? Would the same thing have happened under different circumstances? Or would everything be changed if... This is a game that is played in our mystery drama.
Goodbye, Dave. Boy, am I glad to see you open your eyes. You mean hello, don't you?
No. I heard what they said.
What? Who said?
I don't know. Those voices. They said I... didn't have a prayer.
You dreamed it, my friend. You've been unconscious for hours.
Where are we?
in the base hospital.
I'm going to die.
Sure. We're all going to die someday. But not this time around. You just lie still, old buddy. You can tell me later how it feels to have my blood in your veins.
Our mystery drama, Fateful Reunion, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Elizabeth Pennell and stars Robert Dryden and Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick. All your life, you've been denied the things you want, haven't you?
Dad, can I have that mountain?
No.
Sandra Sue, can I have a kiss?
No.
A handshake?
No.
Pet your dog?
I think not.
Sergeant, may I have a weekend pass instead of marching through the swamp with the rest of the fellows?
But you're your own person now, aren't you? And you want to make up for all those good times you've been denied, don't you? So now, if you want something, you ought to darn well be able to have it. Yes, even a Skyhawk. Buick's sporty personal little road car that comes with a famous Buick V6. A car with flair, spirit. A car to make up for all the Christmases you wanted sleds but got socks. So if you want to buy a Skyhawk, by golly, you go right down and ask your Buick dealer. He won't tell you no.
It's mine to keep? Gee.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
It was the first time I can remember really going fishing with my dad. I'm sure I'd been with him before, but the first time I really remember it was wading downstream with him in an extra big pair of wading boots as he felt his way very surely along the stream bed, and I shakily held onto the willows, and we found a spot where my dad lifted his finger to his lips and said, "Shh, we don't want to scare the fish away." And then I remember that fish. The biggest fish I'd ever seen in my life. And it was on the end of my line. And my dad, boy, was he proud. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
Give your children everything. Give them your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Scene took place more than 30 years ago when two very young draftees, as members of the Allied Expeditionary Forces, were forcibly thrown together in the landing on that beach at Normandy. Since then, their bonds of friendship have never been broken. Now, middle-aged men, they have gone their separate ways, but over the years, one solemn promise has always been kept. No matter what's going on in their lives or where they are, they meet for a reunion on June 6th, D-Day.
I thought I was a goner that time for sure. You saved my life, David.
Blood saved your life. If it hadn't been mine, it would have been someone else's.
Oh, but you were my buddy.
Damn right I was. After you'd saved my life, hanging upside down with my parachute all tangled up in that tree... I must have looked pretty funny.
You did.
I thought you'd never find your pocket knife.
Well, raise the glass. Happy 31st reunion. Ah, good Lord, Dave, what's happened to time? Can you believe that many years have gone by?
In some ways, I can.
An awful lot has happened.
How have things been going with you in this past year, Gary?
Oh, can't complain. Lucy's a jewel, as always. Although I realize I won't have her much longer.
Nonsense. She and Doug will be living here in New York, won't they?
Oh, speaking of New York, it was darn nice of you to make the trip here this year.
Great for me, too. Chance to visit the big city, see my son.
Hi, gentlemen.
And your charming daughter.
Uncle David, how good to see you.
Oh, don't I get one, too?
Of course, Dad. Guess I'm supposed to say Happy D-Day, but I'm not going to.
Oh, what's wrong with a couple of old army pals getting together?
Everything.
Now, don't knock it, Lucy. Without our yearly get-togethers, you, my dear daughter, would never have met a certain young man who happens to be my best friend's son.
I give up.
Incidentally, where is my son?
Oh, I meant to tell you. He's working late. I'm going to meet him at the office, and while you two are having your own party, we're going to one. But not in honor of D-Day.
Well, I suppose other things did happen on this date.
Mm-hmm. Like last year when Doug and I got engaged. But please stay right where you are while I get dressed. Before you take off, I want to use you as guinea pigs.
Lucy, what in the world are you doing in that weird getup?
Can you guess what I'm supposed to be?
Well, the headgear and all those beads make you look like a gypsy.
Right. And what do you think I have under this striped scarf?
Well, if you're a gypsy, it must be a crystal ball.
Right again. Voila!
Why, that's no crystal ball. It's a computer.
Also correct. The 21st century's answer to the all-seeing eye of past, present, and future.
Yeah, I'll bet.
No, really. It's fabulous. Doug's been working on this for a long time.
Well, I know he works on computers, but why all the gypsy stuff?
Well, we're going to a fundraising thing where I'm supposed to tell fortunes. And believe me, our booth is going to bring in $1 million.
Well, I'll admit your costume is startling, but...
Not the costume, Dad. This gadget. You've never seen anything like it.
Looks like most calculators are small computers to me.
Oh, but it's not. This is a truth machine.
Well, I see it has a tape. That's handy.
Shows how it works.
Well, I'll have to put on the big act. Ah, computer, it is Madame Lucy who calls you. Reach into your fabulous brain and tell us true whatever we want to know.
Get a load of that phony accent.
Yeah.
The gentleman to my right, tell us his first name, color of his eyes, and the color of his hair. Take a look at that.
Name? David. Eyes blue-green. Color of hair gray. Why, that's amazing.
Let's see that tape.
The gentleman to my left. First name. Color of eyes and color of hair, if you please.
I'll be darned. Name? Gary, color of eyes, hazel, hair, question mark?
I'll ask that again. Color of his hair, if you please.
It's got your number, Gary. The tape says, the man is bald.
Oh, that's very funny. The whole thing's a frame-up. Lucy's fed data into this machine.
Honestly, Dad, I have no idea how it works. It just always comes up with the right answer.
All right. Ask it where my home is, what I do for a living. Oh, I know. My wife's name. I'll bet it can't answer that.
The gentleman named David. Tell us, oh mighty one, what is his occupation? Where does he live? And what is the name of his wife? There you are. Mr. David is a bank president in Des Moines, Iowa. His wife's name is Jean.
I'll be darned. It's quite a trick.
Oh, I don't think there's any trick to it, Uncle David. This is different. It's your turn, Dad. Just try to stump it.
Okay. Here's something that machine would never know. Ask it the license plate number of my car.
What is the license plate number of my father's car?
The tape says 892NYX. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, of course it's right. Now I know this is a frame-up. you and Douglas got together and fetted answers to all the usual questions any fool would ask. It'll be great at your party if you know everybody there.
It isn't like that, Dad. Truly it isn't. Why, this computer can actually predict. Actually tell what will happen in the future.
Uh-huh. All right, let's test its brain power on that score. Ask where our reunion will be held next year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mighty computer, where will Gary and David meet for their next D-Day reunion?
Here, I'll tear off the tape. You read it, Dave.
What does it say?
It says, there will be no reunion next year.
Now I know it's a hoax.
I don't understand. How can you say that?
Well, I'm beginning to agree with you, Gary. Lucy, if you and Doug really didn't feed that computer bank, ask it why there'll be no reunion next year.
I will. Not that.
Well, what's the matter, Pat?
It's come out all gibberish. The machine must have jammed or something. I'll have to ask Doug to unscramble it.
Sounds mighty suspicious. I'll take that computer business up with my son tomorrow. Right now, can we drop you off in our cab?
No, thanks. Doug won't be through for another hour. Give me a big hug, both of you. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Coming.
You certainly have a complicated lock on that door.
Oh, just security measures. 5:30. How are you, love?
Miserable.
Oh, what's that? Come on in for a minute.
I don't want to go through with any more of that computer thing tonight.
Honey, wait a minute. What's wrong?
First of all, open the bag and take out the computer.
All right.
I hate that black devil.
What? You hate this revolutionary piece of equipment which may have the potential of changing the course of the whole world?
I don't think anyone should look into the future. You can't change something that's destined to happen.
Well, who's talking about predestination?
You put those answers into that box, didn't you, Doug?
I helped put it together, if that's what you mean, but this particular computer is brand new. It goes way beyond anything I've ever worked on.
But you do know how it works.
Well, not exactly, no. That's why we're so excited. The damn thing actually seems to have a mind of its own.
Doug, you must stop experimenting with this monstrous thing.
Never. Lucy, I simply don't understand what's gotten into you. Hey, we've always been honest with one another, haven't we?
I always thought so, up till now.
Well, what's so different about now?
Oh, I don't pretend to know anything about computers, but I do know they can't think for themselves.
No, not exactly.
This computer was programmed to give certain answers, wasn't it?
It was fed thousands of facts and figures by a team of researchers, but we have no control over the choices its mechanical mind will make.
Don't you see how dangerous that is?
No, I don't.
Well, fortunately, our fathers both thought it was a hoax.
Oh. Something happened when you used the computer today, didn't it? Didn't it?
Oh, Doug. They wanted to know the answer to the question, where will they hold their reunion next year?
Oh, those old soldiers. Wouldn't they just?
Don't laugh, Doug. You ask it that question. Go ahead, ask it.
Okay. Where will my dad and Lucy's dad hold their usual reunion next year?
Go ahead, Doug. Read what it says.
There will be no reunion next year. Well, what do you know?
Don't you see? They said it was a frame-up. They accused us of collusion to try and keep them from having a D-Day meeting. Did you do it, Doug?
Lucy, I swear I had nothing to do with it. Oh, come on. There's nothing to get so upset about.
Only there is. Because they asked one more question. And I got an answer which I refused to accept.
All right. What was the question?
You ask it. Go ahead. Ask the machine why there will be no reunion.
Okay.
Right. Please, God, the answer won't be the same as it was the last time.
All right, let's see. Oh, no. Oh, no. The tape says, because one of them will be dead.
So now you know why Lucy was so upset when she crumpled the tape and pretended it was nothing but gibberish. Well, perhaps that's all it really was. Computers have been known to get things mixed up, just the way people do. On the other hand, this computer may be right. One big difference between computers and people is the psychological effect an idea can have when it is implanted in the human brain. We'll learn more about that when I come back very soon with Act Two.
Oh, Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear, and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who love the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
To think about it anymore. We can pack away those bitter memories. But what about the people who served their country? Can we pack them away and forget them till they're needed again? And can we tell those that are disabled that they're no longer of any use to us? If you're someone with a job to give, can you ignore the fact that over 1 million veterans will need a job this year? Or the fact that their alternative is welfare? What a waste of your tax dollars and their lives. These are responsible men and women with experience, skills, maturity. Even the disabled can still do a job well. The way to get this country working is to get people working. So if you have a job to give, call the National Alliance of Businessmen. Help America work.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council. A computer can be a very useful tool if you're trying to balance the books or solve an abstract problem. And the idea of a computer which could figure out human problems seemed like an innovation to be highly desired. But right now, a young technologist is confronted with a whole new aspect of the mechanical brain. It is unsettling to be told by a doctor, a fortune teller, or even by a robot that someone dear to you is going to die.
You don't believe that, do you, Doug?
I don't want to believe it.
Well, somebody must want to frighten us. Somebody who fed data into that machine.
Honey, I keep telling you, this computer doesn't work like that. It has freedom of choice.
Well, so do I. And I will not accept the word of a thinking machine. Our fathers are still young. It isn't as though one of them were ill or is in any kind of danger.
Wait a minute. You're sure that neither your dad or mine saw what was on that tape?
They saw the tape about no reunion. But I tore up the other one.
Ah.
The tape that said one of them would be dead. And pretended that there was no answer.
But there was an answer. And that means now we have to ask another question.
I don't want to hear anymore.
Lucy, we have to. We must find out so maybe we can prevent it from happening.
What question do you propose to ask?
I have to ask the computer to tell us which one will die.
I don't want to know.
Well, I do. and I'm going to find out.
Don't tell me. Please don't tell me.
Well, look at that, will you? He's never done this before. Honey, please, take your hands away from your ears and listen.
It was all a mistake, wasn't it?
I don't know. The tape says, I cannot tell you.
There, you see. It is a hoax.
No, 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 no. This computer is programmed to respond. I'll make it tell me. Come on, come on. Which one will it be? Which one?
It sounds angry.
No, I'm the one who's angry, and it better tell me this time.
I guess you better tell me what it says.
At least it apologized.
Come on, Doug. Computers don't...
The tape says, sorry, but I cannot answer your question.
Well, then, if it can't answer that one, it can't answer anything.
Uh-uh, that's not so. It's always given straight answers before. You know it has.
Sure, when it was fun and games.
All right, maybe we're taking this too seriously. I could be wrong, you know, about what a computer can do. Oh, good Lord, look how late it is. We promised to raise some money for a good cause.
Do you think I can still go through with it?
Sure. I mean, just sidestep any serious questions. You know what I mean? Pretend it is just a trick if you have to. There may be a lot more to this machine than anyone has dreamed of.
Taxi! Taxi!
You did say we're going to that place where the food's so good.
I hope it's still good. Haven't been there for years. Hey, cab!
Get in, Gary.
Thanks. Hey, where to?
Hey, you know the restaurant Monsieur Henry's?
Sure, fancy French place, otherwise known as Mr. Henry's.
Old times, coming back. He reminded me of someone.
Yeah? Who?
That little French nurse. One with the big brown eyes.
Whatever made you think of her? Wait a minute. We're going in the wrong direction. He's taking us uptown.
Can't prove it by me. I never know north from south in New York.
Driver, where are you going?
Well, you said Monsieur Henry's, didn't you?
Yes, it's on 52nd Street.
I never heard of it being there. The only one I know is on East 86th Street.
Well, that's not where we want to go. Go back to 52nd between 5th and 6th.
Well, you should have told me sooner, mister, but there's a two-way street coming up. Maybe I can still make the light.
Watch out for that truck! Well, we lived through another close one. Cheers!
Cheers, I think. If that trailer truck had been going any faster... Well, you were sitting on the bad side.
Yeah, could have been me, could have been you, or both of us.
Yeah.
You know, I got to thinking about that computer thing.
So'd I. Could have been telling us there'd be no reunion this year.
Well, here we are, though. So, let's eat and count our blessings before this lucky day is over.
Madam Lucy, you were sensational.
Not much thanks to your marvelous computer. When the tapes came out blank, I had to make up the answer.
Well, you're a born fortune teller, that crazy computer. Almost as if it refused to operate because I'd insulted it. Okay, tomorrow, back to the drawing board.
Hey, I have an idea. Let's pick up our dads. They've had enough time to hash over the old war stuff.
All right, do you know where they are?
Turn here. They used to go to that French restaurant. Oh, what's the name? I think it's in the next block.
Oh. You mean up there where all that crowd is?
Why, yes. That's where it used to be.
Oh, honey, I don't want to get mixed up in all that mess. I mean, it looks like police cars and an ambulance.
Oh, Doug. I have a terrible feeling. Drive up there.
Well, honey, I can't. Look at it. The block is jammed.
That's their restaurant. And something's happened.
Now, Luce, baby, take it easy.
Can't you get any closer?
With all those cars in front of us?
The ambulance is pulling away. And there go the police cars.
Look, Lucy, I think you picked the wrong block. That's no French restaurant.
I know it. It says Club Shenandoah.
Well, then, let's go on to your apartment, okay?
No, Doug. We've got to find them.
But if you don't remember where that restaurant is...
I do remember. It was right here. The name's been changed, but this is the same place. We've got to go in and see if they're in there.
It's all right, folks. Excitement's over. Enjoy your supper. Have a round of drinks on the house. Music for dancing until 3. Ah, yes, sir. Table for 2?
Actually, we were just looking for some people.
Lucy, I don't think they'd be in a place like this.
Well, it's not the way it used to be, but you know how they are for going back to their old home.
Okay,
there's another room out this way. And if you find your friends, we'll be glad to give you a bigger table.
All right, thanks.
This doesn't look like their kind of crowd, but what if...
Honey, look, let's get out of here, all right?
Wait, that ambulance. What if it had something to do with them?
Your imagination is running wild. Now, come on, let's go.
Not yet.
Maybe you folks would like to stop at the bar?
No, thank you.
But if you haven't been to the Club Shenandoah before...
What happened here before we came in?
Oh, don't worry, lady. We run a nice place here. It was just an unfortunate accident. Could have happened anywhere.
Well, there was an ambulance. Someone must have been sick or had an accident.
That was just his tough luck.
Whose tough luck?
A man got hurt. Wait a minute. Who are you, lady? Somebody from the press?
No, but I have to know who was hurt and where they've taken him.
Well, how should I know?
Come on, Lucy, let's go.
No, it's important.
We just want to make sure it had nothing to do with our friends, you know?
Well, there were these two young fellows at a table over there. And to tell you the truth, I didn't like the looks of them from the time they come in.
Well, see, now you can relax. Lucy, they were young fellows. Now let's go over to the bar.
Not till I find out some more.
Lady, you must be an ambulance chaser.
What a dreadful thing to say. I hate violence.
Well, these two characters got violent.
You mean they had a fight?
They got in an argument. None of my business to know what it was about, but one of them picked up a steak knife.
I guess I don't want to hear any more.
Of course, I'm not sure he would have used it. That is, if the old guy hadn't interfered.
What old guy?
Well, maybe not old, but there were these two middle-aged men sitting at the next table.
What did they look like?
Oh, conservative-looking gentlemen. Nice, quiet customers.
Go on.
Well,
go on.
You understand, I wasn't right there. I didn't see what actually took place. Not till somebody yelled, "They were stabbed." Well, it seems these two older guys got very upset when they saw the young man waving a knife. So one of them jumped up and tried to stop him.
Oh, no.
Maybe it was a brave thing to do, but to my mind, it was pretty stupid.
Well, wouldn't you have tried to stop him if you'd been standing there?
No, I wouldn't have tried to knock the knife out of his hand the way that man did.
Oh.
But which one got hurt?
And the young fella just sort of automatically slashed out at the older guy.
Was he killed?
No, he wasn't dead when they took him away, if that's what you want to know.
Where have they taken him?
Well, to a hospital, of course. Well, I wouldn't know which one.
And the other man, I mean, the one who was with him, where's he?
The other older fella went out with his friend.
Oh.
And the two young punks were hauled off by the police.
Well, you must have the names of these people.
Look, if you're not the police or the press... Get off my back. You can read all about it tomorrow morning.
Please, we just want to know for sure.
Lady, I only work here. The proprietor's gone with the police to make a report. I tell you, I never saw any of these guys before. None of them were regulars.
This man who was slashed, surely you know what he looked like.
Sort of heavy set and bald.
My father... drive straight to the hospital.
Honey, how can we? We don't know which hospital.
Well, where's the nearest one?
I haven't the slightest idea. Besides, that doesn't mean anything in New York. In emergencies, they go anywhere.
Well, then drive to the police station.
I don't know where that is.
Find it and hurry.
Lucy, please. You've gone off the deep end.
Well, how would you feel if it was your father?
Oh, what an idiot thing to say. They're both so close to me, I'd be undone if anything happened to either one of them.
But something has happened, Doug. I know it.
Oh, honey, you've jumped to a big and frightening conclusion.
Two men? One of them bald?
Yes. There could be thousands out on the town.
Where are you going? Oh, there's nothing we can do. Except get to a telephone and wait.
Lucy seems so certain that something has happened to her father. Of course, she's been influenced by a suggestion of disaster, further enhanced by an evening of fortune-telling. It is true, as Doug said, that Lucy was jumping to a hasty conclusion. But when two old soldiers are commemorating D-Day, might they not be the first to come to the defense of someone who appeared about to become a victim of battle?
we have another premonition to be shared with you presently when I return with Act 3.
Come on, America, refresh the natural way. Have a glass of summer juice any time of day.
Summer juice is orange juice from Florida. I'm Anita Bryant, reminding you that orange juice is 100% pure, with natural sugars for natural energy. Orange juice makes the perfect summertime pick-me-up. Try it over ice.
Orange juice, America's summer juice.
From the Florida Orange Growers.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Some 3,000 calls a month like this one come into the National Gun Tracing Center from law enforcement agencies throughout the country requesting information on guns used in crimes.
Hello, this is ATF with the gun trace request.
We check with both national and foreign manufacturers and forward the dealer's name to the requesting agency. In some cases, we can do this in a matter of minutes.
I will hold. I'm sorry to report that the owner said the gun was stolen about 6 months ago, and he forgot to report
it. I'm Rex Davis, director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Gun tracing is
often the only means of solving a crime. If you secure your gun against theft, you make our job and that of your local police that much easier. Place a complete description of your gun with your other important papers. And if your gun is stolen, report it at once to the police or ATF. Remember, your stolen gun threatens everyone.
Many a mathematician has taken delight in relating our actions to the movements of pawns in a game of chess. The game we are playing might be compared to the thoughts of a wakeful chess player who, after spending an evening at the board, is tossing and turning as he replays the moves to himself and speculates, what if I had done this? Or what if I had moved in that direction? And right now, it's our turn to make the next move into the final act of our mystery drama.
Oh, Doug, I hope we're doing the right thing. I can't bear to think...
Give me your key, will you?
Look, you will call the police right away, won't
just
you?
Just take it easy, Lucy.
The way I see it, it was just a technical maneuver.
Hey! Not at all. If you have a piece of paper, I'll draw a map and I'll show you.
Dad! Uncle David!
Well, good heavens, who'd you expect?
Hi, Dad, Uncle Gary. Wow, are we glad to see you.
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming.
Oh, you're all right, aren't you, both of you?
Well, of course we're all right. But how did you know about our accident?
What? Accident? I'd call it more than that. The knife. Oh, Dad, why did you do it?
What knife? Why did I do what?
Well, the man in the restaurant said
What's the matter with you two kids?
They told us at the Club Shenandoah.
Club Shenandoah? Well, where's that?
But Gary, that's the place we didn't go to.
Oh, the terrible-looking spot that used to be Monsieur Henry's.
Yes. Yes, weren't you there?
That honky-tonk? We took one look and then found a nice, quiet spot over on Madison Avenue.
But, Dad, Uncle Gary did say something about an accident.
Oh, a minor skirmish in a taxicab.
You weren't hurt.
Well, I had a bloody nose.
And I got a crick in my neck. But what's that to a couple of old war horses?
Now, come on, you long-faced characters. This is an evening for celebration.
It certainly is. I think I'll hang these bells on that branch up there. Oh, I do love Christmas. And, Doug, when we have our own house...
Ah, that's exactly what I was thinking, Lucy. And when is that going to be?
Soon. But I had to be with Dad these past months with Mother gone, especially at Christmas.
I know.
You could have gone home. It was nice of you to stay. Pop appreciates it.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere except with you.
Oh, let's set a date, Doug.
Now you're talking. Got any specific date in mind?
What else but June 6th?
How can we have a wedding on the one day our dads go off for their private reunion?
Who said anything about a wedding?
You mean you'll do it my way? No fanfare, just a justice of the peace?
Exactly. We'll make it our day, not theirs.
Oh, honey, you are terrific.
Hello? Yes? Yes? Oh, no, where? But why shouldn't I be worried? Of course, I'll be right there.
Hey, what was that all about?
It's Dad. He's in the hospital.
But who were you talking to? What happened?
Well, that was Dr. Daniels. He said not to worry, but Dad, he's had a heart attack and he's in St. John's Hospital.
Oh, honey.
He's going to die, Doug. I know he's going to...
Lucy, stop that. I'm taking you to the hospital. Let's go. Now, promise you will sound cheerful, Lucy. You heard Dr. Daniels.
I can't get it out of my mind.
Now, forget your premonitions. Dr. Daniels said your dad is in better shape than either one of us, and that if he takes it easy, he can live to be 100.
Oh, okay. Dad?
Well, come in, sweetie. I'm sorry to pull a stupid stunt like this on Christmas Eve.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Oh, Dad, how can you say that?
Well, I guess I've just been working too hard. Doc says after a few days' rest, I'll be back in top form.
I'm going to stay here with you.
Nonsense. From the looks of the nurses around here, I'm going to have a ball.
Uncle Gary, I'm going to call my folks for Christmas. Shall I tell Dad that you're in the hospital?
You tell him just one thing, my boy, that I'll see him on D-Day.
Lucy, where's your dad?
Why, he's at work, of course. What are you doing here this time of day?
I thought he might have heard the news before I did. Have you had the radio on?
No, I've been vacuuming, doing my spring cleaning.
I tried at every payphone along the way, but the lines were all tied up. Let me use your phone, huh?
Calm down, Doug. What's the matter?
A bomb. They said it went off in the executive offices.
What executive offices? What are you talking about?
Oh, busy signals. Again, it's no use. I was out on the road. The report came through on the car radio. A bomb in Des Moines, in Dad's bank.
Not your father?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
But you don't know. What was the rest of the report? Well, look, I'll turn on the radio.
No, please don't. I want to get it straight from the source. I tried the bank and the paper and the police.
Didn't you call your home?
How? How could I do that to Mother?
Well, you must call her, Doug. Dial her direct right now.
No, wait a minute. I got another idea. Hello? Dad? Well, yes, on the car radio. I was out of the office. I've been trying desperately to reach you. Are you all right? Oh, thank God. Well, yes, as long as you're okay, that's all that matters.
Give him all my love.
Lucy sends love. Right. Okay, Dad, goodbye. Whew, boy.
You see? You should have taken the advice you gave me. Don't jump to conclusions.
Well, I know, but this was such a near thing, honey. He has a cold. Mom made him stay home today. He'd been trying to reach me to tell us not to worry. And he said to tell your dad he'd see him on D-Day.
Well, old buddy, it's the 15th of May. And time for us to make some plans.
You bet, Gary. Where'll it be this time?
Well, I'm for keeping the destination a secret.
You mean from our ever-loving families?
Mm-hmm. Don't you agree?
Sure do. How about getting away from all civilization?
Well, it suits me. Any ideas?
Yep. I got a dandy. What about up at the lake? That Wisconsin fishing lodge where we went one summer.
Hey, that's beautiful. But it's pretty inaccessible without a private plane.
We'll get one.
You still flaunting that pilot's license?
You better believe. If you'll come more than halfway, we can rent a plane in Chicago.
That's great.
We better meet on the 5th. If can get away.
Nothing's going to stop me. I'll see you at the airport in Chicago about 10 o'clock that morning.
Doug, you're just in time for lunch.
One whole week of glorious vacation, and you know, I didn't tell a soul that we're getting married tomorrow.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a surprise to anybody.
Least of all our dads.
Oh, Doug, I'll be so relieved when tomorrow's over.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, honey, I don't mean us. It's just that, well, once this reunion has passed, there'll be nothing to worry about.
If you mean the computer, I've got plenty to worry about when I get back to the office. They're accusing me of breaking the darn thing.
I hope it never works again.
Lucy, love, computers are the way I earn my our living.
Not by turning them into fortune-telling.
No, not fortune-telling, but a chance to open up the whole future so we'll know which way to go.
Not if the future only lives...
Don't say it, Lucy. I'll admit the machine must have had some bugs in it. But ever since that day, the tape has come out blank.
You were tampering, Doug. Trying to turn it into a human brain.
Superhuman, you mean? That's what's so eerie.
Some kinds of medicine are too strong to take.
Honey, how can a computer know that?
It can't, silly.
This one did. It behaved as though we'd gone one step too far.
Look, I'd like to forget
it. Oh, so would I, at least for the next 7 days. It's our time to celebrate. So, cheers.
Oh, you sound like our dad.
Did your old man get off on schedule?
Yes, early this morning, before I was up.
And still the big secret about where he was going?
Yes, but I happen to know he had an airplane ticket to Chicago.
Uh-oh, you cheated. No one was supposed to know. But Chicago, I don't know. That seems like an odd place for them to have a reunion.
Especially since he asked me to help him find his fishing rod. Well, lunch is ready. Come on.
How about a little background music, huh? I'll turn on the radio.
Why is it that you can always get a station with music? Well, all I ever get is...
We bring you a special news bulletin.
Uh-oh. Shall I try again?
No, leave it on. Let's eat.
A report has just come in of the crash of a private plane in an Illinois wheat field. Details are not available at the moment, except that a farmer allegedly saw a small green plane flying low. Later heard an explosion. And now a fire is spreading rapidly over a section of his property out of control.
Hey, this is good, Lucy. How'd you fix this chicken?
Oh, it's a new recipe. It's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's great.
I have just been handed an update on that plane crash. Checking with the Chicago airport, we have been told that a small green Cessna took off from there this morning.
Hey, you know, Dad used to have a green Cessna.
Oh, but he hasn't had an airplane in years.
Well, I know, but he's still flying. Lucy, this report is coming from Chicago.
Oh, it couldn't.
And here is still a report on the tragedy. We do not know the names of the victims, but it has been established that the plane had two occupants. The pilot, who was known to airport officials as the flying banker from Des Moines, and a male passenger.
Oh, Lucy.
Repeat. The pilot, who was known to airport officials, was going to Aiken, Wisconsin. And a male passenger. We will bring you further developments as received by the newsroom. It is assumed that both men have perished.
Dear God. Oh, no, this time it really happened. There can't possibly be any doubt.
And absolutely no way that we can help them.
That damn computer. It knew. It knew, you see. It knew there would be no reunion.
But I'm glad it was wrong. Now will you believe that computers don't know everything?
It was right, Lucy. It said...
It said one of them would die. But both of them... It's better this way.
Better?
Well, they were closer than brothers. And after all they went through together over the years.
Yes. Yes, I suppose if they'd had their choice, it's what they would have wanted.
We interrupt again to bring you further information on that plane crash in Illinois. Names will not be released until after the next of kin have been notified. But our report goes on to say that, incredible as it seems, there is one survivor.
Doug!
Which one? Ah, but that is not our story. Two men met in a moment of violence when either could have died. But both were spared that time, until finally, for one, came the inevitable. Why is an accident fatal to this person while that one is spared? Some say predestination. But how many times it seems that a whim of fate makes a split-second change of direction, if... Tragedy? No. But mystery? Yes. The mystery of the universe. I'll be back in a moment.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
Some predictions turn out to be true, but it has never been proved that this is anything but happenstance. So I urge you to refrain from looking into a clouded crystal ball and look forward to a long and happy life. For no one, not even a scientifically programmed computer, can cope in advance with an unanswerable question. Our cast included Robert Dryden, Jennifer Harmon, Ken Harvey, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Barney is the leading theatrical agent in New York. And he's the one I meant to... Well,
you meant to what?
Oh, nothing, Mama. You know me. I always talk to myself.
That's because you have money in the bank. Well, I may have a rich and famous daughter, but I still have chores.
I'll finish breakfast and come down and help you.
Not if it's going to interfere with your career.
It was like poor Mr. Joseph Carraway said to me before he died. Always go back to where you came from and renew your roots.
Well, we got plenty of roots that needs digging up in the South Pasture. See you later, honey.
Yes, Mama. Sebastian. Oh, poor Sebastian. I never meant to kill Sebastian.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
From KOIN in Portland, my name's Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. A bomb has exploded in a building in San Francisco. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Jim Hamlin of CBS radio station KCBS has a story on the explosion.
The entire 34th floor of a downtown office building was destroyed by two simultaneous explosions. The office houses the Federal Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Enforcement Unit. San Francisco Bomb Squad Sergeant Dave Wynn reconstructed events.
But according to the janitor who picked up the device, he stated he didn't hear any ticking. But there was, in fact, a note left on the device saying this is a bomb, and he took the note to security, and the security was reading the note, and the bomb didn't hit.
The device was found in the women's restroom. A group called the Red Gorilla claimed responsibility for the blast, first trying to call a local radio station, but getting so confused by the answering service, they called Associated Press instead. There were no serious injuries. Jim Hamblin for CBS News, San Francisco.
New York police say an explosion at a United Parcel Service headquarters Monday night apparently was caused by a bomb inside a package. At least 9 people were injured. There's no report of any arrests. More news coming up.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
The Florida Coast Guard says the worst of a giant oil spill hovering off the Florida Keys will hit the beaches Tuesday in the area of Key West and Big Pine Key. Pancake-sized globs of oil began washing ashore Monday on a 25-mile front of the lower Keys. The Coast Guard has flown in equipment to contain and clean up the mess starting at dawn Tuesday. The International Longshoremen's Association, meeting in Bal Harbour, Florida this week, is taking a hard look at the economy and unemployment in particular. The group heard one view of the situation Monday from an administration official, and Ike Siemens has the story.
Secretary of Labor John Dunlop says there's no question that for the economy to recover completely, more jobs will have to be created. At a news conference after addressing the Longshoremen's Convention, Dunlop says he has no quarrel on that point with top labor leaders.
I share the view that the country needs jobs. As a matter of fact, if the labor force grows as we normally expect it, we will need an additional 2 million jobs a year from now till 1980.
But the problem is how to create those jobs. Big labor wants it done primarily through more federal spending. But Dunlop says the prime responsibility rests with the private sector of the economy. Ike Siemens for CBS News, Bal Harbour, Florida.
Meantime, ILA President Thomas Gleason predicts that the delegates will approve a resolution that members refuse to load Canadian and American grain on board ships that are bound for the Soviet Union. More after this.
This man has had one of the most varied careers of any CBS News correspondent.
The committee members will have some more specific questions to ask today, but already they've heard of...
CBS News' George Herman has been into almost every news job possible. He's been a writer, editor, cameraman, and war correspondent. He's covered the White House, been a bureau chief, and is currently enjoying his favorite assignment as Washington correspondent. Along the way, he met and married Patricia Kerwin, a former White House staffer for President Eisenhower, and they have 3 sons. Herman has also clocked many miles on the political trails, covering such presidential candidacies as Adlai Stevenson, Lyndon Johnson, Hubert Humphrey, and Edmund Muskie. He was also the first radio newsman to file a report on the Watergate. As you can see, Herman's professional background makes him the perfect choice to moderate one of CBS News' outstanding weekly broadcasts, Face the Nation. Listen for George Herman from Washington on most of the CBS radio network stations.
A 10-day strike by Albuquerque police is over. The policemen voted by a margin of about 3-1 to accept a new contract offer from the city. Details of the offer were not made public. The policemen had been demanding higher wages. A Norwegian sailor who survived last month's Eastern Airlines plane crash in New York flew home Monday after getting a send-off from the hospital staff. 40-year-old Egan Loftus had been treated for second and third degree burns on his face and body. He says he hopes to complete treatment back in Norway. Loftus says the reason that he survived the crash was that he undid his seat belt and slid under his seat moments before the crash. Egyptian President Sadat is expected Tuesday to outline his position on Israel's latest proposals for an interim peace settlement in the Sinai. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The Multnomah County Sheriff's Office will staff the county's jail correctional facilities if correction workers go on strike. Members of the Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees have voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike. County labor negotiator Dan Ellis says one of the reasons for a possible strike would be issues not settled in a new contract.
They do include wages, and they do include other matters such as retirement, determination of who will be in the new bargaining unit, items such as catastrophic leave, and most of the items remaining are of a monetary consequence.
The union says money is not the main issue, that the county refusal to send contract differences to binding arbitration is. The union wants direct talks with the county board of commissioners. The county says they'll let labor negotiators handle the issue. The cause of a blaze that destroyed $500,000 of dried lumber at D&M Products in the Portland area is still being investigated by Multnomah County Fire District 10. The early morning lumber mill fire Monday was reported 5.5 hours after the firm was struck by the International Woodworkers of America. Picketing union members helped firemen battle the blaze. Nationwide, there may have been more violent crimes during the first quarter of this year than last, but the opposite was true in Portland. Crime statistics showed a drop in the number of killings, rapes, and aggravated assaults in this city, but the number of robberies, burglaries, and larcenies other than car theft rose. The number of car thefts decreased by a small amount. There were 16% more farm and home loans issued by the State Department of Veterans Affairs in 1974-75 than during the previous fiscal year. Department Director H.C. Solfield says there were more than 15,000 loans issued to veterans during the past fiscal year. Those loans, he said, were worth nearly $430 million. The Oregon Fish and Wildlife Department has received $250,000 from the Northwest Regional Commission to construct natural experimental fish-rearing ponds in the Grand Ronde River Basin in Wallowa County. The commission granted a similar amount of money to the state of Idaho for another experimental salmon and steelhead propagation program. And the search continues in Lane County for a man who killed a massage parlor manager in a robbery attempt Sunday night. The robber stabbed the parlor's manager to death and wounded two men who tried to give aid. The sheriff's office says Shirley Wallace was stabbed several times and her would-be rescuers were wounded by gunfire. The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area: sunny and hot today and Wednesday. Highs this afternoon near 90 and the lower 90s Wednesday. Lows tonight near 60. Light northwest winds today and the chance of measurable rainfall near zero through Wednesday. At the airport, it's clear. The temperature is 67. Wind from the northwest at 12 miles per hour. Barometer reads 30.06 and rising. Relative humidity 47%. In downtown Portland, it's 70 degrees. That's KOIN News at 12:09. This is Alan Archer.